A fabulous good morning to each one of you. I just want to, am I speaking where I should be? Okay.
You just put it on your chin, that's all.
Under a chin, okay. Okay. I want to first of all welcome you, as I said, and second of all, I'm doing the opening prayer today. And I just thought a long time about that. And the Lord said, just talk to me. And so I did. And what He wants each of us to know is that there's a banner of love over us, each and every one, each and every day. And when I closed my eyes, I saw different colors of banners. And I don't know the implications, but each of you have a special, special banner over you. The everlasting, always there, always forgiving, beautiful, beautiful love of Father God, sweet Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And when I thought of that, I thought, what greater gift? He wraps His arms around us. He gives us a personal, personalized banner of love just for us, each one. And I think that's the main thing He wanted each of you to know this morning. And to really take care of that and covet it and realize that a lot of power and might and angels and blessings are there with that banner. Yes. And we just thank You, Father God. We come to You right now with a huge hooray. Thank You. Yes. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father God. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Thank You.
And David of old stated in Psalms 105 the theme that that Kay just reiterated a minute ago. So let's just continue in that same phrase of thanksgiving. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works." And the Amplified Version is just another reiteration and further expansion of that praise and thanksgiving that's in each of your hearts right now. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His doings among the people." That's our call. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him. Meditate on and talk of all His marvelous deeds and devoutly praise Him. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God.
So y'all, most of you have met the couple here, Living Logos, but I just want to introduce to you Pastor Jenny. She is awesome, and I'm so excited. She is part of the Living Logos, so you are welcome in our church. We thank you so much for coming. You have been pastors for years before, and now they are doing this. Isn't that awesome? Yes. So, and we forgot to do announcements. So how about if I don't introduce you right now, and then we'll do the announcements. But there's Pastor Jenny. How's that? So good. I'm so sorry. I changed it up, and then I forgot. So sorry, Jonathan. I do want you to do our announcements. You're so great. You're special that he waited. So thank you, Pastor Janet. Here you go. Awesome announcement time.
And then... Oh, yeah, sorry.
I changed it up, and I didn't want to go with the change. But Pastor Jenny, thank you so much for coming. So I'm so excited. I don't know if I'm supposed to share about how long you've been doing this. Are you sharing all of that? You won't share any of that. But they were former pastors at South Dakota. I can't remember the name of the, and then also Wyoming, right? And then the Lord started having them travel with Living Logos, started developing this ministry. So it's 10 years. You're celebrating 10 years, I noticed, spring, right? So exactly when in the spring did you start?
We first went on the road in April, and it was before our youngest son had graduated from high school. That was really stupid. But we left him home by himself, and we started. And, yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you. So I just want, we're going to be blessed with them this morning. And then remember, our tithes and offerings, the Lord's tithes and offerings, that was for them. We're going to do a love offering to bless them. But only remember, do it as the Lord leads, okay? So we'll do that afterwards, okay? Thank you.
We pastored a small church in Rawlins, Wyoming, which is actually quite a bit like this. It's high desert. It's almost 7,000 feet. So we get a lot of snow up there. We probably don't get quite so much. And it doesn't get as hot in the summer. We have beautiful summers. Y'all come. Anyway, we have a post office box there now. We live in a motorhome, and we just are on the road all the time. But all of that to say is our church was about the same size as this. So we feel very much at home here. It was a windy city. Rod says we had 15 people with gusts to 25. And so we are very privileged to be with you this morning. And we've been in a lot of different churches. We've been in 42, 43 different denominations. We are ordained with Foursquare. So it's always good to come home. But Paul wrote to the Colossians, Christ is the head of the church. He's the first of all who will rise from the dead. So he's first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And by him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once so far away from God, you were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has brought you back as his friends. He did this through his death on the cross in his own human body. And as a result, he has brought you into the very presence of God. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Then in Ephesians, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees. I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he would give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. I pray that Christ would be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's so great you'll never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, glory be to God. It's by his mighty power at work within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. May he be given glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. Now, if you brought your Bibles with you, we want to ask you to leave them closed. And the reason for that is we've done our memorization out of the New Living Translation. And if you're trying to follow along in something that is not the New Living Translation, it's just going to be distracting. Your mind will keep saying, oh, that's different. Oh, that's expressed differently. If you happen to have a New Living Translation, you still can't follow along, because then your temptation is going to be to see if Rod goofs. And that's not your job today. We will let the Holy Spirit be his prompter. Okay? But you do have a job. It's your job to listen to what God wants to speak to you personally today. And when he does, take a moment to make a note of that, and after Rod has finished presenting the scripture, we'll share what you heard. So we do the scripture, you preach the sermon. Okay? This letter's from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. It's written to all of God's people in Philippi who believe in Christ Jesus, and to the elders and deacons.
May God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, give you grace and peace. Well, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. I always pray for you, and I make my request with a heart full of joy, because you've been my partner in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I'm sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ comes back again. Now, it's right for me to feel as I do about all of you, for you have a very special place in my heart. Together we've shared the blessings of God, both when I was in prison and when I was out defending the truth and telling others about Christ. God knows how much I love you, and I long for you with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. I pray that your love for each other will overflow more and more, and that you'll keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, those good things that are produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including all the soldiers in the palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ and because of my imprisonment. Many of the Christians here have gained confidence and become more bold in telling others about Christ. Now, some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know the Lord brought me here to defend the good news. Those others don't have pure... I was supposed to be off now. Carl. Those others don't have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach from selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But whether their motives are pure or not, the fact remains that the message about Christ is being preached, so I rejoice. And I'll continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me, and as the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will all turn out for my deliverance. For I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame, but that I would always be bold for Christ, as I have been in the past, and that my life would always honor Christ, whether I live or I die. For to me, living is for Christ. And dying is even better. Yet, if I live, that means fruit. I'm torn between two desires. Does that go before that? Isn't that odd? Because I've done this about 1,000 times. That's not in here, by the way. Here's Paul. I can't believe it. I've done this 1,000 times and I can't remember what I wrote. I live in eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that causes me shame, but that I would always be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and that my life would always honor Christ, whether I live or I die. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. See? I'm torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live. Sometimes I long to go be with Christ. See, that would be far better for me. But it is better for you if I live. So I'm convinced of this. I'll continue with you so that you will grow and experience the joy of your faith. Then when I return to you, you will have all the more reason to boast of the things that Christ Jesus has done for me. But whatever happens to me, you must live in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ, as citizens of heaven. Then, whether I come to see you or just hear of you, I'll know that you are standing side by side, contending together for the good news. And don't be intimidated by your enemies, for this is a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given the privilege not only to trust in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. See? We're in this fight together. You've seen me suffer for him in the past, and you know I'm still in the midst of this great struggle. Now, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Then make me truly, are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, considering others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they're doing. See, your attitude should be the same that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not demand or cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Now, because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Oh, my dear friends, you've always been so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important for you to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you. giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. Now, in everything you do, keep away from complaining and arguing so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world filled with crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them. Now hold tightly to the word of life so that when Christ returns, I'll be proud I did not lose the race and that my work was not useless. And yet, even if my life is to be poured out as a drink offering to complete the sacrifice of your faithful service, that is, if I am to die for you, then I rejoice. And I want to share my joy with all of you. You should be happy about this and rejoice with me. Now, if the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon. Then when he comes back, he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. See, I have no one else like Timothy, who genuinely is concerned about your welfare. The others care only for themselves, not for what matters to Christ Jesus. But you know how Timothy has proven himself. Like a son with his father, he has helped me in preaching the good news. And now I want to send him home to you just as soon as I find out what's going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. Now, in the meantime, I thought I should send Epaphroditus home to you. He is a true friend, a faithful helper, and a courageous soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. Now I'm sending him home to you because he's been longing to see you, and he was very distressed. You heard he was ill, and indeed he was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me so that I would not have such unbearable sorrow. So I'm all the more anxious to send him home to you because I know you'll be glad to see him, and that will lighten all my cares. Welcome him with Christian love and great joy. And be sure to honor people like him, for he risked his life for the work of Christ and was at the point of death while trying to do for me what you could not do because you were far away. Whatever happens, dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord give you joy. I never get tired of telling you that. Now, I'm doing this for your own good. Watch out for those dogs, those wicked men and their evil deeds, those mutilators who say, you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship God in the Spirit are the only ones who are truly circumcised. We put no confidence in human effort. We boast about what Christ Jesus has done for us. Yet I could have confidence in myself, if anyone could. If others have reason for confidence in their efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, having been born into a pure-blooded Jewish family that is a branch of the tribe of Benjamin, so I'm a real Jew if there ever was one. And furthermore, I was a member of the Pharisees, who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. Zealous. Zealous. I harshly persecuted the church, and I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully, I was never accused of any fault. I used to think all of these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Jesus Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. See, I've discarded everything else, considering it as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. that I no longer count on my own ability or my goodness to obey God's law. I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that somehow I might experience the resurrection from the dead. Well, I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things or already reached perfection, but I am working toward the day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear friends, I'm not yet all I should be, but I am focusing all my attention and energy on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Oh, I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree with me on these things. If you disagree on some point, I'm sure the Lord will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we have learned already. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I tell you again with tears, that there are many whose conduct proves they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. And all they think about is this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting his return as our Savior. Now, he will take these weak, mortal bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own. With the same mighty power he will use to conquer everything, everywhere. I had a sense a few minutes ago that you're supposed to do chapter 4, okay? I'm not sure why, but just go ahead and get the wireless over there. If that's okay. You got that one shut off now, do you? Okay. Oh, okay, good.
Oh, my dear friends, I love you. And I long to see you. For you are my joy and the reward for my work. So please stay true to the Lord, my dear friends. Now, I need to plead with those two women, Yodia, Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true teammate, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others about Christ, and they worked also with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I'll say it again. Rejoice! Let everyone see that you are considerate in everything you do. And remember, the Lord is coming back soon. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank him for all he has done. If you will do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep on putting into practice the things that you've learned from me, heard from me, seen me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. How grateful I am, how I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me again. Now, I know you've always been concerned for me, but for a while, you haven't had the opportunity to help me. Not that I have ever been in need, for I have learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty stomach, with plenty, with little. I can do everything with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength I need. And yet, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Why, even when we were in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. What I want is for you to receive a well-earned reward because of your kindness. At present, I have all I need, more than I need. I have been generously supplied by the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable to God and pleases Him. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from His glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Give my greetings to the Christians there. All of the brothers who are here with me send their greetings too. And all of the other Christians send their greetings, especially those who work in Caesar's palace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Oh, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, how we thank and praise you for giving us your word. That you did not just set this world spinning in space and step back to see how we would do. But you sent your Son to redeem us. You sent your Spirit to fill us. And you gave us your word so that we could recognize your voice. If there is anyone here today who doesn't know Christ, and you've heard that it is not our goodness, our abilities that bring us to God, but it is the precious blood of Jesus on the cross shed for us, God's plan by faith. This morning, and today's your day. Just let us know. We'd be happy to pray with you. Father, would you take the words that were spoken from your word today and stick them to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, what did you hear? This is the sermon part. This is first. It's this. What were some of the things that God whispered in your ear? Yes. I'm not sure, but I think in 10 years that is the first time someone has voiced that as what they heard. But I heard that a long time ago. But then again, I've been, someone besides me that has voiced that as a response. I believe that's the first time that's happened. I think it's one of the most critical. Oh, is that, that's great. That's great. That's great, Melissa. Yeah. It's a turning point scripture, because Paul does not say, he's not doing these things just so that you have more things to study. He says, and he doesn't even relate it to the study of the word. He says, I pray that your love for one another will overflow more and more, and that you'll keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. Because I want you to understand what really matters. Why is it important to understand what really matters? Yes. Well, what would be, can you think of something? Okay, here was my response. I thought, why would he say, I want you to understand what really matters? Because I don't know if you're like me or like most people, when we don't understand what really matters, we spend a lot of time on things that don't. See, we spend, in fact, an inordinate amount of time on the things that really don't matter. Yeah, you know. My goodness, we're surrounded by people trying to help waste our time. For example, I just heard recently that one out of every six or one out of every seven people on the planet is now connected to Facebook. 1/7 of the entire planet is connected to Facebook. Now, Facebook has connected a lot of people and wasted an incredible amount of time in the process. It has. Look, I'm on Facebook, Living Logos. We have a Facebook page, and we enjoy, Jenny enjoys keeping up with her family. You know, she's got everybody else's grandkids. We've got 3 sons, unmarried. We're taking applications. But we have no grandchildren to track on Facebook. So we kind of enjoy keeping track of friends and family. But have you, and anybody who spends time on Facebook, have you noticed how kind of addicting it is to just keep scrolling and find out what's next and what's next on it? And there are 8 new messages. Click back to the top and you find out. And by the time you've gone through those 8, there's 3 more. Mr. Zuckerman has become a multi-billionaire by teaching the world how to waste time. Or giving them a tool by which they can waste copious amounts of time. And yes, and in fact, sometimes we encourage our friends to waste time as well. Do you see? So that's why Paul's saying, understand what really matters so that you don't spend an inordinate amount of time on things that don't. And we all struggle with that. We all fight this because we have affections that draw us. We have affections that draw us. I notice there are publications back in the bedroom that have to do with things like Harley Davidsons. Nobody loves Harley Davidsons like I do. You know, but just be aware. Be cautious about the things to which you give yourself. So anyway, so okay, someone else. Yes, Carl. Use what God's given you. He's given you resources. He's building, he's doing something in you all the time. So he's giving you a desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. Yeah. So what do you think pleases the Lord? Well, you know, everybody's wearing the little wristbands. What would Jesus do? You look at anything, what would Jesus do? He probably wouldn't wear the band. I thought I could count on Paul to come up with the real, you know, the bottom line thing here. I think we found the discussion floor now. Okay, yeah, it's done. Yes, yeah. Use what you have, obey what you know. The thing is, a lot of people, have you ever run into someone who said, I just really want to find out what God's will for my life is? But they're always passionately pursuing someone to tell them. They want the miraculous intervention so that it clears everything up. And in Scripture, there are... But in Scripture, there are a number of things that God says in the Word, this is the will of God concerning you. So if you were to implement those things with a thankful heart, I'll bet he'd show you more. See, we love the spectacular when much of walking with Christ is not very. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? I mean... That's true. That is true. Sometimes we get so focused on the amazing thing, we forget the miracle of a transformed life. You know, it becomes kind of, oh, well, that was nice. Now let's pursue this. Well, I'm not taking a swing. Look, I'm Pentecostal from my hairline to my toenails. But let's discover what God says in his word about what is God's will for you. Love one another. Go ahead, Paul. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reverence and fear. Put into action God's saving work in your lives. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Obey, and it was right before that, and he says, obey God with deep reverence and fear. Yeah. You're working well as a team here. Mm-hmm. You know. Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly. No, I don't think he means everybody has to have the same opinion about everything. I read just the other day, it said if everybody's thinking the same thing, a whole lot of people are wrong. You know? It's if everybody's thinking exactly the same thing, you know, can we say vanilla? You know, that God has made the body of Christ. He's made humanity amazingly diverse. Chuck Swindoll was once quoted as saying, God made each one of us uniquely different. And then he said, get along. See? It's the way it is. You see, how many have been in the body of Christ for a long time? Okay, you know, and Jenny and I in the same boat. I was in church, both of us probably a week after we were born, and we never escaped. So it's, you know, we've been a part of the Christian culture for a long time. How many of us have seen a failure that has resulted in the excommunication, basically, or the ending of relationships? Where now, I know Scripture says if someone is, but the inference there is repeatedly, consistently, almost dedicatedly living their lives in sin, then there needs to come a point of separation. Your relationship, the body of Christ, it needs to really lose its reputation as the gang that shoots its own wounded. You know, we really do, because Galatians, what is it, chapter 6, talks about restoring one, being careful lest you fall into temptation. You know, let's be restoring. God has given you, in what, 2 Corinthians, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah. Or as they say in Minnesota, side by each. Side by each, they walk together. There. Yes. And you notice, actually, I changed one of the words there. In the New Living Translation, it says fighting together for the good news. I changed it contending. I don't know, maybe because I like the connotation of contending has the intention of passion, intentional action, and no sense of backing away from what needs to be confronted, without just, you know, fighting. Yeah. That was one of Paul's biggies, wasn't it? Showed up over and over again. He was really into relationships too. He was really into relationships. So, anybody else? There was a reference just two nights ago, a song called When God Ran. Does anybody remember that? It was about 25 years ago. Benny Hester. I was trying to think of his last name. I worked at a radio station, Christian station in South Dakota. I played that thing all the time, and I couldn't remember his name. Yeah, so, yeah, Benny Hester, When God Ran, which was written around the whole image of the Father not waiting for the son to get to the doorstep, but he hikes up his skirts and goes cooking down the driveway. You know, it's like, that's my son. And which also leads to another interesting image, and that is the Father on the front porch scanning the horizon, watching for his son. Yeah, watching for his boy. That's what God's like. He's always watching for us. God doesn't use conviction to make us miserable, though that works really well. It does. It truly does. But he uses conviction to get us to the cross, because he knows at the cross he can deal with anything. But conviction is what he uses to get us to the cross. But he's got this heart. He's got the prodigal father's heart. The father of the prodigal, his heart. He's looking for he's on the horizon. Oh, there's my boy. There's my girl. Someone else. That's a good point. You know, Paul, I think that's the first time that someone has mentioned that as a comment. 10 years. I mean, we get hundreds, I guess by now thousands of comments. Oh, really? That's the first time you've written that down, probably. Out of the kingdom. Yeah. Well, you know, it really is. It really is. Or it may not be as much work in that sense, but it's certainly walking with awareness. You know, it's living with this. Well, here's, all these things are coming back to my mind that were just the other night, but early in our travels, we were somewhere in America, I don't know where, and we were at a kind of a diner. It was one of these, it was a little restaurant, kind of a mom and pop joint that had the food, you know, the bar, where you, stools, what do they call that? The counter, you know, sitting at the counter, that's right. And there was a fellow kind of hunched over his hamburger there, and And he had a black T-shirt on, and it said on the back, "I live my life on purpose." On purpose. And I thought, every believer in Christ ought to have one of those. You know, because we are called repeatedly to live life intentionally, not being reactors to the things that happen to us, but being initiators of kingdom purpose and kingdom grace. That's good. That's good. You're probably familiar with Daniel Brown. Was sharing with a bunch of pastors, and this was years ago. He was talking about the glory of God, and sometimes we as Pentecostals equate the glory of God to be the kind of that spectacular thing that's associated with remarkable. You know, when I was at camp one time, a buddy of mine, and funny thing is, he's not walking with the Lord right now at all, but he had taken off from the service and went back to the cabin, and he turned around. He heard something happen, something, you know, there was a particular, whether it was an outburst or a response, and he looked out to see this kind of green, sparkly cloud envelop the tent, of the meeting tent. And we tend sometimes to think in terms of the glory of God as being these spectacular moments, but Daniel said this: what if the glory of God is nothing more than this? What kind of reputation does Jesus enjoy in Tucson because you live here? You know, he would be the first to say, "Oh my goodness, we love those spectacular moments," but those are punctuation points in the life of the body. We sometimes look at the Book of Acts as well, this stuff's happening all the time. No, because the Book of Acts took about 30 years, didn't it? It was a long period of time, And we need to be careful sometimes when we gather that we're not demanding that God reprove himself every week by doing something spectacular, you know, because then we in kind of an odd way, we become people who are not living by faith, but we are living by certainty. And by sight, we see God doing things, and we begin to replace, it begins to replace our sense of I'm going to trust God no matter what happens. You know, I'm going to be a Job. Though he slay me, I will not deny him, and I will follow. I will trust him. And so we, you know, let's not drop our desires to see the move of God in our midst. But you know, let's not fall into the trap of always asking God to re-verify who he is. Week to week to week to week, or Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday to Wednesday. It's the pressing on. That's what hit me two nights ago, was the straining. I strain to reach the end of the race. It's not a walk in the park. This is an intentional thing. I want to live my life on purpose. Not on a porpoise, on purpose. There are days when you'd like to live it on a porpoise, wouldn't you? Yeah, or not being taken for a ride on a porpoise. But live your life on purpose, with intent, with godly intent. And godly intent because you are making the Word of God foundation in your life. One of the things that we have... Exactly, Melissa, yeah. I no longer count on my own goodness or my own abilities to follow Christ. I trust Christ to save me. Yeah. It's a marvelous way to live. It just doesn't make sense in the eyes of people who are not part of the body. But the glory of God is also the fragrance our lives demonstrate where we live. So that sweet-smelling sacrifice. See, I grew up in the church, so we love words like magnify. You know, that's in the Bible. Yeah, magnify the Lord in your hearts. Well, what does it mean to magnify? Making something that's not as easily seen big and clearly seen. So if we are told to magnify the Lord, there is a certain part of it that means for those around who can't really see God, magnify him before them so that he becomes much more clearly visible and they can respond to him. Anybody else? Okay, Paul. Yeah. Tell him from Timothy what he considered to be really important. Remember that little portion about what he asked as a Timothy to bring? Yeah, we do tend to, we live in an affluent country, and we tend to surround ourselves with things that are hardly expedient, hardly necessary, and as a result, we have 3-car garages full of things so much that we can't park our cars in them. Yeah. I'm only paying $700 a month to store all my stuff so I can park my cars. Here's a funny thing that happened. We watched some friends go through this when they first went into YWAM and into the Youth with a Mission train. And then when we sold our house, we did much the same thing. And we had a 3,000 square foot house in Rawlins, Wyoming, and I had a 3-car garage that had all sorts of stuff. I could still get my cars in it, but there was lots of stuff in there and some stuff outside the garage too. And so we had to have this garage sale and a big yard sale because we had to pare things down. And the first, isn't it funny with garage sales? You can, if you advertise it in the paper, you'll have somebody on your doorstep at 5:30. In the morning, and they're going, coffee? But 8 o'clock in the morning, doors. Well, I told my guy that showed up to go wait in his car for a while. But you open the garage doors and Jenny was taking care of the house. I was taking care of the garage. And it is amazing to have these emotions going on in you as you know you have to get rid of this stuff. But I'm going to use that. I'll sell next week. I'm going to need that bucket of old bent nails, or that piece of oak that's this big and that, because I'm going to make a duck out of that one, and whatever. But as people come and look at your stuff and then they start buying it, your heart's going, and the more you sell it, the easier it is to get rid of it. Jenny found herself selling things in the house she didn't want to sell. And we still have a 10 by 20 foot storage unit that's packed to the gills. Oh, those are hundreds of pillows. Where they came from, we're not sure. But maybe pillows have babies. I'm not sure, but it's like rabbits. But what is interesting, and by the end of this thing, I have a neighbor, we had a neighbor, really good neighbors, and one guy across the street. And Dan would wander over every once in a while and say, "Hey, Dan, you interested in a leaf blower? A leaf blower. Hey, Gary, what about a little gas-powered rototiller thing? And I kept asking Dan and all these things. He says, Rod, have the sale. I will park my trailer." He had this nice utility, big utility, 20-foot utility trailer. And he said, "I'll park my trailer in front of the big door. And then anything at the end that you don't want, you can throw everything in there. Just whatever you just throw everything in there. I'll go through it. And if I want something, I'll keep it. And then I'll take the rest of it to the dump for you." That was the best deal of the day. but it was this thing of there is release in getting unencumbered. See, we don't have a home now. We do not own a home. We own a motorhome, which is not even that. It's 40 feet long, but it's pretty skinny. and it's like living in a bowling alley sometimes. There are no slide outs, which would be really nice. But and every once in a while we get kind of, you know, wouldn't it be kind of nice, you know, and we'll go look at motorhomes and you walk through, and at some point you think, well, yeah, but we own our motorhome. If we bought this, we would be back in debt. And this one does everything we need it to do. Besides, as Jenny said, we can each sit on our own couch and hold hands across the aisle. If we had a slide out, that would be very difficult to do. So, because she'd be way over there. So, something we discovered as we moved into the ministry was that a simplified life is not a life deprived. That's, I ought to get that. I make that a bumper sticker, and we could sell that on the table, couldn't we? Yeah, yeah. But it's true. Most of us get so attached to the things we own, or the things, frankly, that we're paying for. You know, and every once in a while we spend time regularly in places like Las Vegas, in Southern California, Dallas, where you're surrounded by at least apparent affluence. But you have to wonder sometimes, I wonder if he really owns that car or if he's just up to his eyeballs in debt trying to impress somebody. So we've tried to, there are some things, you know, about which we try to be not cautious, and we're not becoming, you know, evangelists about this kind of stuff. In fact, I don't remember the last time I ever talked about this in front of anybody. But Paul regularly calls us to be kind of a lean, mean fighting machine. You know, he calls us to recognize the things that are important and the things which are not, and to discard those things, become selectively disinterested in what is not important. Oh, that's another bumper sticker, isn't it? Hey, it's just, as soon as you get them all printed, you let me know. You know, become selectively disinterested in the things that don't matter. Yes. And we minor in too many majors. You know, that's true. Anybody else got anything you'd like to share? Because we got a real brief challenge for you here. Yeah. Yeah. As you live in Christ. Yeah. I am so sorry I brought all that up, my brother. I'm so sorry. I'm going to have Jenny go start the car so we can make a quick escape here. We are now having officially way too much fun. And we're in church. Isn't that great? Oh, my dear mother. I love my mother, but she really had a problem with joviality in the church. She just did. She would come, and they would come, Mom and Dad would come down, and they'd come to our church, and I'd preach. And I have a tendency to, you know, sort of be a little lighthearted at times. And she says, why do you have to always try to be funny? Well, there are days when I don't even try, and it, you know, but and it's just misfortune that happens that everybody else finds humorous, but isn't it good to laugh in the presence of the Lord? You know, one of the manifestations. What is it? The plaque that Kings gave us at indelible mark. Oh yeah. joy is the most indelible evidence of the presence of God. You go ahead, scribble away, man. Yeah. So be joyful. You know, Paul says, rejoice. I'll say it again. You know, rejoice. Yeah. Man, is Facebook going to be alive this afternoon, huh? Okay. Here's... Since it's almost 2 o'clock, let's wrap this up. we didn't come so that you could see a guy in a dress or to try to impress you with the fact that we memorize Scripture. Because as you saw earlier, I screwed up twice. I did. You were snoozing. No, you weren't. Which is... What is it? The Lord gives his beloved rest. You know, hey, you know. We had a fellow in our church in Rollins who he was one of the hardest working men I've ever known. And he would haul the you've seen the big what are they called? Jugs of water when they deliver water and they're huge. He would deliver those all week long. I worked with him. And he, hard working guy, he worked and he had to have both knees replaced. But when he got to church, he'd make it through about half the service and then was just, we threatened to buy him a lazy boy for the back because we didn't want him to fall over and hurt himself. But okay. Well, we came to challenge you to embrace a discipline that has the power to change your life. And that is to memorize the Word of God in chunks. So our challenge to you is to, as we get ready to, we're going to give you 3 reasons why you should embrace this discipline. But the idea is for you to go and find 12 verses of Scripture in a row. You got it, Eric? 12 verses in a row. And I understand it's all good. So you can just go wherever you want, New Testament, Old Testament, whatever, a psalm. I memorized Obadiah last year, which isn't exactly the most encouraging little piece of Scripture, but it was I heard a powerful sermon about it. That's what I'm working on now. I'm just starting chapter 18, so it's about a half a verse at a time. That's what it is, Eric. It's a half a verse per time, and lots of review. But neither Jenny nor I ever thought we could do this, as do most people who memorize Scripture. Absolutely, it is. Well, you see, but I'm here to tell you, you know, Melissa, that you can, not because it's a positive mental attitude exercise here, but because God said what? I'm doing 2 things in you. I'm giving you a desire to obey Him, and I'm giving you the power to do what pleases Him. Do you think it pleases Him when we had His word in our heart? So anyway, here's 3 reasons. Number 1, God said so. Why should you memorize Scripture? God said so. At least 150 times in here, in this book, He says, I want you to get the words off these pages and get them on these pages. Yeah, get them in here. Number 2, if you've got a heart to know the Lord and you begin memorizing portions of Scripture, God will change your life. He'll just change your life. He changes the way you view things. He changes. I mentioned conviction earlier. Conviction comes far faster. You can hear the voice of the Lord. People who refuse to know the Word of God, I think we're coming to really strongly feel that they don't hear the voice of God. The things they hear are, and I just read this from a friend last night on Facebook, interestingly enough. And he simply said, hour on my face before the computer, Facebook. But he simply said, there are many people who are claiming to operate in the prophetic, but they don't know the Word of God. and what they're doing and they're sharing as prophetic things are frankly just thoughts or dreams they may have had for which they are searching for a spiritual meaning. It is kind of, that's not a bad way to put it. It's kind of spiritual spam. Because God ties the, God has always tied the functioning of the gifts of the Spirit that he talks about so clearly to knowledge of the Word. He ties those. He ties spiritual leadership to the knowledge of God's Word. Here's one of the things that does a real pragmatic benefit of memorizing scripture. A pragmatic benefit of memorizing anything is keeping your mind active. And literally, there is having an active mind and challenging your mind to do things staves off things like dementia issues. There is empirical evidence that you can stave up, because most Americans don't use their mind but this much. They don't, because what we're in such an entertainment saturated culture now that everyone is telling us their stories. We're not challenged to use our own minds to let the creativity. We are connected. How many know Carmen Lickerdell? Remember Carmen? Okay. Singer. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. About his cancer. Yeah. Carmen Lickerdell. Yeah. Carmen once said this. He said, he was challenging the church toward creativity, and he said this: look, we have come into fellowship through Christ with the Creator of the universe. Why do we squelch creativity in the body of Christ? Be creative. Let your mind begin to exercise your mind. Now, memorizing is a very focused thing to do, and it's not easy. But it is not as hard as everybody thinks. It really is true. It really is true. It seems to be that we've been doing this now for traveling for 10 years. I've been memorizing for 13. Jenny's been memorizing for about 7. Is that right? Something like that. We neither of us thought we could memorize when we started. The fellow who came and challenged us, who was a friend of ours, he and his wife, Jerry and Marie Knudsen, came and challenged our church and me personally. He buttonholed me personally to start memorizing. He found it horribly hard, but he knew that the Lord had said, I want you to memorize 1st and 2nd Peter, and I want you to do it, I want you to present it dramatically. So he said, how am I going to do this? He went to a garage sale and bought an old exercise bike, and he put the Bible on that little stand in the front there, and 3,400 miles later, he had 1st Peter. It was an intentional thing. I live my life on purpose. Now, so what are you doing intentionally, daily, intentionally, on purpose? I do this every day, or I do this every other day, whatever it is. But what am I doing with an intent, with specific intent, to give God access to me to make me spendable currency in his kingdom? I don't want to burn out for the Lord. I want to be spent wisely, but I want to be ready to be spent. And our sons, we have three grown sons, to whom I earlier alluded, and their non-married status. But each of our sons at some point in the last 10 years has come to us and said, you are different than you used to be. And the only, and it came down to things like, I notice you treat my friends better. You know, he said, how does this affect you in everyday life, your attitudes, the quickness with which you repent to the Lord and get forgiveness and move on? So we drag our sins around with us. Carl? Oh, you're just agreeing. Hallelujah. You almost bought a boat there. But you understand, it's the quickness with which you respond to conviction. So you don't have to carry your sin with you. If you've screwed up, if you've made mistakes, if you're in some sort of relational, Euodia and Syntyche, how do you like to be either of those girls who forever are quoted in Scripture as having something over which they should not have been at odds? And Paul had to confront them in a letter and say, yeah. But here they are. They've got this disagreement is going on. There's a disagreement going on, and Paul is basically saying, look, girls, there's no eternal merit on the issue you're dealing with. Get it behind you and move on. And we, that's one of the things we've, the other things we've noticed. Look, there's nothing that we share with you that we haven't experienced. This is just, we didn't put these things together. We didn't sit down and figure out what we can tell you about memorizing Scripture. These all have happened to us. So you can't sin like you used to. You can't. There are things where the road is just much, there's much, much better markings on the road. You come to a decision, God says, life, death. Or let's see, that was left, death, right, life. But you know, that's even in Scripture. That's even in Scripture where it talks about the fool. Yeah, yeah. But it's, you know, he makes things clear to you. He's faithful to do that. We, apart from a knowledge of the heart of God, we just sometimes don't recognize the signs. And we find ourselves in trouble. We find ourselves having to band-aid our relationships. And we had to, you know, we spend so much time on the wrong side of relationships instead of the true fellowship of a relationship. And Jen, yes, whatever your story is, you can tell it. Yes, they're recording. Do I need to fill in that long spot of silence? No, I didn't think so. You've got an editing tool. Yeah.
I pushed both the buttons, just not far enough. Okay. Anyway, so we had just purchased this motorhome, so it was new to us. And we were going to Indiana at a time of year when we thought it was going to be really hot and humid, and we are always looking for cheap places to park. And we were going to be in this little city municipal campground. And they didn't have the right kind of hookups for us to be able to run our air conditioner while we were there. The fella in the park said, all you have to do is go down to the hardware store and they have the adapters for you. So, but Rod, who has worked as an electrician for a lot of years, decided that he did not want to go spend money on an adapter. He would just make one. So he made one. And he plugged in what was to us our brand new motorhome, and it blew up.
Not the whole thing.
That sounds good, though, don't you think? No, but the transformer.
For the sake of saving $85 on an adapter, it blew the PC board for the air conditioner. It blew the inverter, so we had no power in the coach, and it was $2,700.
Yeah. Okay.
I just managed to create a direct short. I just had my brain went to sleep and didn't wake up until after.
Anyway, my natural inclination when something like that happens is to think of really good zingers. I don't know if any of you other gals do that, and so that you can make him feel terrible, as if he didn't already feel terrible. And so I was coming up with all of these things I was going to say to him for ruining my home because of his terrible stubbornness and all that. Anyway, he had just recently done a presentation of Sermon on the Mount, and there's this phrase in there that says, stop judging others and you won't be judged. And that came into my heart real strong. And I said something kind, like, that's okay. Not to worry about it. Let's see what the Lord can do with this. Totally out of character. Yeah. anyway, what actually ended up happening with that is our insurance company for our vehicles paid that $2,700. I mean, so God really came through. But a short time after that, we were driving along and we used to, we had a Jeep, drag the Jeep. We had a blowout on the Jeep and so we were towing it down to get all of the stuff fixed that had messed up when we dragged this poor thing for a long time. Yeah. We had to get a, yeah, it was really bad. You know, there's sparks flying out the back. We couldn't see it. We're just dragging the thing down. Anyway, so one of the hazards of driving your house all the time is that you always have your refrigerator available. So I had gone back to the refrigerator to get a snack. And as I'm opening the door, I hear, don't forget to lock the refrigerator.
That wasn't me. That was...
No, I really think that was probably the Lord. But I forgot to lock the refrigerator, and we ran around a corner, and the door flew open, and which had happened several times before, but this particular time, the hinges on the door broke, the door launched across the hallway, and everything shattered all over the floor. It was horrible. It was horrible. Anyway, terrible, terrible mess. And Rod's response to this was, it's all right. Don't worry about it. Let me help you pick up that glass. And my husband is down there, you know, in the slop, picking the glass out. And now, he's a nice guy, but that wasn't normal. And I really believe that it was such an illustration from God. If we will choose to extend grace to each other, that comes back. That comes back. And when, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, no more rabbit trails. Paul didn't wear a watch, so I have no idea what time it is, but which is dangerous for allowing an evangelist to get in the pulpit with no watch on his arm. But here's the challenge. We told you about a dozen scriptures. Okay, go find a dozen scriptures in a row. Don't go to the promise box and get, you know, 12 of God's top 100. Just get one and then memorize what's on each side of it, if you like. But find 12 scriptures and just do your best in the next month to month and a half to make them yours so that you can speak them out and your ear can hear your mouth speaking the word of God. Something, we're really confident that this is going to happen. Somewhere in there, and in not very far along the way, you are going to start hearing the voice of God talk to you about specific things that are arising from the scripture you're memorizing. It almost doesn't matter where you're memorizing either. We're hoping that becomes an ignition point for you to know the heart of God by better knowing his word. And so we're kind of the poster children for this, because we started out not thinking we could do any of this. I had been a pastor. We had pastored two churches 9 years, and I knew, I think, three scriptures by memory, three verses by memory. Frankly, that's shameful. I look at myself and I think, how could I ever hope to lead a congregation, whether it's tiny or large? And ours at the time was very tiny, about this big. You realize you're a Wyoming megachurch here, do you? A Wyoming megachurch. You will begin to recognize the voice of God much more clearly, and it will come within the context of what you are memorizing. We're hoping that really ignites in you a desire to keep going. And one of these days, we can come back, and you guys can you guys can do the scripture and we'll sit with Paul on the couch. And then you can take a love offering for us. Isn't that quite a deal? Isn't that, you know, that's just, we're trying to work out these things where we have a day off once in a while. You know, yeah. Certainly. What have you memorized? Stay in touch. Take a brochure or a card. We love it. Oh, then stand up in here. Oh, if you keep memorizing and email us what you're memorizing, just, you know, you won't have to stand up and do it. Just the rest of them. Just to let you know, my mother, the first time I did a presentation at my home church in Kelowna, British Columbia, afterward, my mother had this really odd idea that a really, really nice meal after church on Sunday night was canned peaches over cottage cheese, that kind of thing, you know, and a piece of toast. And so she was whipping this up, you know, and she said, Rodney, my mind doesn't work that way anymore. She was 84. And there are very few things that you can tell your mother to change that and change your mind at the age of 84. So I didn't. I just said, oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. But a few months later, when I was talking with them, she closed the conversation on the phone by saying, oh, by the way, I've just finished the first 8 verses of Ephesians chapter 1 in King James. And she went on to memorize the complete first chapter of Ephesians, which is not a short chapter. And then she memorized several Psalms. She now suffers from some dementia issues. She got a late start. But if you start her on Ephesians chapter 1, even with her dementia, she'll take it on. Which leads Jenny to have made the proposition some time ago that when you memorize scripture, it doesn't go into your brain. It goes into your spirit. It goes into your spirit. It feeds your spirit. It feeds your spirit. So it's there are people known to be unable to communicate. They haven't got the ability to form words physically and speak. And if they know scripture, you can start them on the scripture, and they will speak, and they'll do the scripture and then be silent. It has to go somewhere else other than in your brain or in your, you know, even in your soul. It goes to your spirit. It feeds you. It's the nourishment that your spirit needs and desires. So, okay, that's the deal. 12. Well, I guess it helps when I am alive to start with, and then when you're, you know. Yes, but thank you. Yes, that many people have made the comment that the word came alive to me for the first time in my life. It jumped off the page. So, how many want to join the adventure? 1, 2, 3. Hands in the air. Oh yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, who do I turn this back over to now? Oh, hi, Karen. Hi, Karen. Oh, yeah, and you can give her that. There you go.
So remember that I wanted to, we want to bless them with a love offering. But remember, once again, too, he stressed and I stress, we all stress, that in unity, that it's in loving obedience to what the Lord puts on your heart. You know, it's not, and if you feel at this time this is not what the Lord wants you to do, that's fine. Just pray for them. That is an awesome thing to do, praying for them. So, and then we have the resources too that we can.
The thing is, there's a music CD here. This is a book that has a lot of handy, helpful hints on how to memorize.
Okay.
Written by a friend in Rapid City. This is a digital Bible which you can put on your computer or iPod or ePod or RPod or your digital player. Genesis through Revelation in the New Living Translation. It also has the PDF read on the screen. So, and you don't have to load the whole thing. You can load file by file if you need. And then this is a book that we wrote a couple of years ago on Philippians, the book you just heard. Uh-huh. And it's just kind of a daily devotional. So, And they are here these are suggested donations. Okay. So all we ask you to do is try to get close. If you can't get close, that's not a problem. We'd rather you have the material to work with.
Yeah.
Okay.
And remember too, if you do write a check, you can write it to Living Logos, which is up there, or you can write it to the church if you want. That you will, either way, you will get that receipt at the end if you want to use it towards, you know, tax purposes. Some people do, some people don't. Really? And but you can either write it to Living Logos or write it to us with the memo area saying it's for them, and then we'll write them a check.
Or do you want to just do it one way or the other? It might simplify.
If you're buying something here, it needs to be there.
Living Logos. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So, okay.
But if you want to make it, just have them do it through the church, or through us, that's fine. I was just trying to eliminate that one step.
Yeah. Oh, you know why? Because sometimes, yeah, I know. But yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, yeah, if you want it, but I already wrote my check, so sorry.
Too bad.
So, but if you do want to do it that way, Debbie is more than happy to write it out for you from the church. So, but are you going to sing while we do our offering time or play? You want
to
do that?
I'd love to.
Okay, cool. All right. Okay.
Well, this is actually for, you can sing along to this one because most of you in the room will know it. As opposed to singing a song that I wrote and no one knows. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Of peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Here's the one I wrote anyway. I worship you, you're the king of my heart. I worship you, for your cross took my part. I worship you, for the power of your redeeming love. For the wonder of your grace, I worship you. How I long to see your face. I worship you. You deserve all the praise I can give. I worship you, you're the king of my heart. I worship for your cross took my part. I worship you for the power of your redeeming love.
for the wonder of your grace I worship you. How I long to see your face, I worship you. You deserve all the praise I can give. I worship you, you deserve all the praise I can give.
Well, Lord, thank you so much for the chance to just spend a little bit of intimate time with these folks and our new friends we've made. And thank you for the power of your word that is going to reside and settle and find a place of root. It is your good seed that has been shared today. And we pray that that seed would bring forth a harvest of righteousness. And that the glory that is due you will be more and more evident, increasingly evident here in Oro Valley and up in this area, just because these guys have a heart to know you and a heart to know your word. And as they kind of mingle and roam through the week, that there will be kingdom territory staked out more and more and more, that you will redeem individuals' families for the kingdom of God. And we want to be change agents for your kingdom. We don't want to be spectators. We want to be impact players. We want to be high impact, low maintenance. We don't want to be high maintenance, low impact. So, Lord, as we dive into your word, as we continue to pursue you through your word and hearing your voice and obeying what you say. We look forward to the day, as Paul reminded us. Remember, Jesus is coming back soon. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Amen. Oh, you're welcome.